We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Don't let that surprise you. Nothing about that that should astonish anybody. Every man who stops to think knows that naturally a man is wrong. You know, you can take all the people in the world. They have a word for duty or ought and must. People everywhere know they're sinners. There isn't a person on earth anywhere with any sense that doesn't at some time have a sense of guilt for something he's done as a child or older. Anybody that stops to think knows there's something wrong naturally with people. This thing of trying to talk about the divinity of the human race, you know, people are divine, you know. Some religionists, you know, come along and say everybody has a spark of divinity in it. That came the devil. That came the Garden of Eden. That came the fall of man. The devil told Adam and Eve to be like God, you know. They were to go out to become gods themselves. So they don't want to say they failed. And their descendants down to this generation, some of them go around and talk about being divine creatures. Well, you're not divine. You're a poor, lost, miserable sinner, naturally. Now, you can have a spark of divinity in you when you trust Christ because you have Him. He comes in with eternal life. And He said, "Marvel not that I said, you must be born again." Don't let it astonish you. Then He goes on and says, there's so many things you can't understand. All around your nature, the things you don't understand. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, I've known a great many people that knew a good deal about how the wind feels in the face and could understand the wind blowing, that couldn't go ahead and tell you much about it. They never had any weather reports except what they made up themselves by looking at the clouds or the sky. I've known some good old country people, but they understood wind. They'd get out from under a tree when the wind would blow. They didn't understand the wind. They couldn't explain the wind, but it was blowing, and they knew something about it was blowing, you know. They could hear it sighing in treetops. Now, I know a great many people that could not theologically explain the new birth that had been born again. The wind of divine grace blows into their lives, and they know it. They know they're changed. They say, "I'm not what I once was. I don't love what I used to love, and I hate what I used to love. I'm a changed man." I've had people say to me many times, "I trusted Christ, and something happened to me." As a matter of fact, you can't explain the depth of this thing. It's deeper than we can go. It's higher than we can reach. It's wider than we can go. We can't take it in. There's a depth about it, and a height about it, and a breadth about it that's beyond us. How a man, Nicodemus won't know when he's old, could be born again, could be made a new creature, literally a new creation. Now here you go along, the old sinner. Maybe a drunkard, maybe a liar, maybe a thief, maybe just a moral sinner. You know, it's so easy to turn up your nose at somebody that got drunk and fell in a ditch and got in trouble. Well, he fell along the line of his temptation. That's where everybody falls. You fall along the line of your temptation. Some of you wouldn't be caught in a ditch drunk, but you go to a pretty good wild party and drink your cocktails and have a good time and get enough whiskey in you, and you won't get in the ditch. But you get enough to feel it. You're at least partly drunk, say at least of it. And if it isn't that, it's something else. It's strange, you know, most of us have our pet temptations and pet inclinations. And we always think they're not as bad as somebody else's. But, you know, sin is sin. And as I told you the other day, it doesn't say if you commit murder, you die. It says the wages of sin is death. Any sin. Didn't say if you go out and kill somebody or steal something. He didn't say that. The wage of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth. You know, well, you say, "My sin's not a big sin." Well, you died when you sinned. We're dead in trespasses and in sin. Now, you have to be born again. That's a clear, definite, explicit teaching of the Word of God. It's just as clear as it can be. Nicodemus answered and said, "Only how can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?" You don't understand the most fundamental thing in the world, Nicodemus. You're a religious leader. Oh, how blind religious leaders can be. Now, Nicodemus was a fine quality of character, moral man, decent man, honest man, seeking the truth. But think of the conditions that prevailed when Jesus Christ was here on earth. He was persecuted by the religious leaders and the religious bosses. They clamored for his blood. They stirred up the plain, common people they should have saved into a mob to cry for the blood of Jesus Christ. It was religion that did it. Rome executed him because they had no power to take life under the Roman rule there in Jerusalem. But they came to Pilate to get him to condemn Jesus to death, to get rid of him. And they're trying to get rid of him now all over the world. Why, oh yes, they like to think of Jesus as a teacher, good man, and all that kind of thing, you know. And maybe a little more divine than other people, but not really and truly any more the Son of God than anybody else. They say we're all children of God too, you know. That's the way these liberals talk. And that's Jesus Christ. They let him go, you know, trying to get rid of him. And if they can't get rid of him, they try to hide him. Try to hide him behind a program or a big machine or something. Every time you go and build a big university plant, you have to be awful careful. You have to underscore again the gospel, underscore Jesus Christ. It's so easy to hide him. You can shove him around. You can assume he's along with the crowd. You remember when he was going there and they left the city, you remember, and the mother thought Jesus was there. And he wasn't there. And sometimes you can leave him behind you, moving along the way of what the world calls progress. And you can move along the way and have great churches and great church members and great in-gathering and never see Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. He said, you're a teacher in Israel? You, a leader, a religious leader, and don't emphasize and don't understand the most essential thing in Christianity. The most essential human thing in Christianity is that a man must be born again. That's the most important thing in the world. I remember when I was a boy, I read a book on babies in the kingdom. Babies are not in the kingdom. Little babies don't go to hell when they die because the blood of Christ avails for them. You're not responsible for Adam's sin. If you never had a sin of your own, you wouldn't be lost because God would find a way to take care of you. You were born in sin, that is, with a damning nature. But God doesn't hold us responsible for what Adam did. It's the soul that sinneth that dies. But you've sinned. The little baby hasn't sinned. And God takes care of the little baby. The little baby goes to him, see? The little baby goes to him. But you're not a baby. You're old enough to know right from wrong. And you've sinned against God. And people say, you know, just keep the babies in the kingdom. Well, that's a pretty good theory, isn't it? But did you ever see anybody that any sense at all? And back him up in the corner and ask him if he ever did anything wrong? Well, he certainly got out of the kingdom if he did. If a baby was already in the kingdom and one time did something wrong, he sure did get out of the kingdom because the soul is sin and it shall die. And the wages of sin is death. And it takes regenerating grace. Now, that's a fundamental thing. We've gone crazy on education. Oh, how we've gone wild about educating people. And we haven't got any better by education. What's education done for this country morally? You have universities and colleges in this country where girls are smoking cigarettes and drinking whiskey and having wild parties, a lot of them, and going out in the world. And just look at the world and conditions here. What good's education done? Up and down this country, people are saying, what are we going to do for high school young people? What can we do? Juvenile crime, what's on us? What's the matter anyhow? Well, only one thing the matter. We belong to a sinful race. We don't recognize the fact. We don't get our children in and tell them they have to be born again. We don't drill that into them. They have to be recreated. They have to become new creatures in Jesus Christ. Now listen, Nicodemus, you are a leader in religion. And you didn't know this. Don't you know that, Nicodemus? The most fundamental truth of all. You know, it's strange how much people know and how little they don't know. You know, it isn't how much you know. The important thing is to know the right thing. Now, that's the important thing. For instance, I've learned things about science I'll never use. I've learned things about Latin in school. I wasn't very good in it, but I learned some things about it that I've never used my Latin. I've learned some things about Greek, if I didn't learn enough much to do me much good in studying the Bible. So many better Greek men than I am, they can tell me what a word means better than I could ever know. You know, you have to be really authority in that field. But I had a little Greek, but never done it. I did it to whet my intellect a little. That's about all education's intended to do, is to drill certain principles in you and whet your intellect to make you able to think. That's what they used to tell me in college. Of course, you're moving so fast now, people don't have time to think. But how different it was back in the old days. Well, all right. Now, the fundamental thing, the most fundamental principle I ever learned when I was a little boy was that a fellow had to be born again. He had to be saved, had to be converted. He had to repent of his sins. He had to trust Christ. Couldn't go to heaven any other way. Now, I learned that, and I definitely accepted Christ. Now, in all the things that ever happened to me, wasn't going to college, wasn't something like that. The greatest thing ever took place in my life was when, as a little 11-year-old boy, I went up in a meeting and accepted Christ as my Savior. Now, I haven't always been as good a Christian as I should have been. But that's the event that stands out in my life. If it hadn't been for that, this school wouldn't be in existence. If it hadn't been for that, I wouldn't be here talking to you now. Hadn't it been for that, I wouldn't have been up and down this country holding meetings. And I still say that I preached to more people than a living man face to face. I didn't have the crowd that some of the rest of them have had in one occasion, but I've been out a long time. And I've been at it steady on the job through all the years. And I preached more people face to face than a living man. I wouldn't have done that if it hadn't been that event. Now, the most important thing in your life of your child when is not that he gets a college education, not that he makes money, not that he marries well. That's not important. Not the most important thing. The most important thing is that your child become a Christian. And if your child hasn't come to Jesus Christ, you ought to lead him to Christ if you know Christ. You ought to know how to teach your children to be born again, how to accept Christ. You are a teacher in Israel, he said, and don't even know this fundamental truth, that a man must be born again. Our Heavenly Father, help those who have listened in to be sure about this thing, to play this thing safe. Eternity is a long time. Life's very uncertain. We're on our way to the grave and on our way out to eternity. Oh, Spirit of God, brood over our hearts and help somebody say, well, Jesus, I don't understand, but I believe you died for me and I believe you're able to save me. And the best I know how, I just trust you right now. Help somebody to do it. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.